Hello, everyone. This is Nataline coming to you from the moon. I'm here at Strawberry Moon Energetics. It's a little experimentation of the sacred donut. Let's begin with a blessing. God, Goddess, all that is, Pachamama, Antepasados, winged beings, all of our souls, counsel, our teachers, our guides, our angels. We call upon you today and we ask you to create sacred space. We ask to create a sacred space of energy around us here on the moon and all those who are listening. We ask to bring peace and harmony. Hello, everyone. This is Nataline Cruz coming to you from Strawberry Moon Energetics in Lakewood, Colorado. We are here today on another episode of the Sacred Donut. I am here with part of my podcast crew, Tio Teresa Sanchez, or Teresa Tio Sanchez, aka Squishy, and Mariah Cruz Nanio Menjivar, aka Mu, and myself. How are we doing?
Good.
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 Everybody's a little bit, so we might have a scratchy voice or a little cough here and there or a sniffle. Tanya is not with us today, and we have a couple of shout-outs. Before we start, I want to shout out Rachel, Armando, and Osiris. I understand they are new listeners, maybe not totally new, but fans of the show, and so I want to shout them out and say what's up to them, and say what's up to little warrior man Osiris. And I hope that everyone's doing well. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Not liking the change of weather.
Yeah. You're not ready for summer to be over.
No, it was too short.
Yeah, I did not have a summer at all. Anything we need to add before we get started?
Just follow us on social media. We're on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube,
LinkedIn.
Leave us reviews too. That's helpful, please, on whatever platform you listen to us on.
Yeah. So today we are going to talk about superstitions and all that jazz. So my original feeling was like, ooh, let's talk about, like, I wasn't really thinking about superstitions. I was thinking about like all the rituals and things we do that, you know, make us feel better, make us feel protected. Maybe we do things to attract wealth or good fortune or to keep the evil away. Do either of you do anything to I don't know, do you have any rituals or superstitions?
Well, I have my ritual of doing my tobacco connection every day, sometimes twice a day, and it's opening sacred space before I do it, doing my connection with the tobacco and the smoke and my invocations and my invocations of gratitude, and then when I'm done with my tobacco, I close sacred space.
Right. So is that a superstition?
No, it's a ritual.
It's a ritual. For
connection, it's my form of meditation. It's my way of doing prayers and gratitude so that I feel good.
Okay.
Because, you know, when you're in gratitude, that's a good energy to be in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mer?
I have lots of superstitions. My kids are like, okay. My whole living room is a superstition. I definitely have like the evil eye and the sage and my stuff protecting the doorway so people can't come in with ill will. I always wear protection, and that came from when I was little. My dad, you know, had me make a medicine bag when I was a little girl, and I used to carry that all the time, and now it's like something I wear for protection. Don't step on cracks.
Why not?
You'll break your mama's back.
But why?
I don't know. I just remember being told that when I was little. There was like a whole song, I think, or something.
So this is what I wanted to talk about is that, you know, we have these superstitions. So first I wanted to ask what your...
Devo's Whip It.
What?
Devo's Whip It.
Yeah.
Step on a crack, break your mama's back.
So I wanted to get when to a problem comes the... along,
you must whip it.
I wanted to get to the... I wanted to kind of get an idea of what your... rituals were around like superstitions, like what, because, so when I say superstitions, we think about things like don't step on a crack because you'll break your mama's back, right? Don't break a mirror because you'll have 7 years of bad luck, right? Don't, if you spill the sauce, if you spill the salt, you want to sprinkle some over your left shoulder, right? So we have these superstitions that I think that some of them are, we've grown up with from cultural ways and like societal ways and like just sort of common, like even when we think about like little kids on a playground, they're like, don't step on a crack or you break your mama's back. Like, but where do these things come from? But I wanted to ask you what you all did first, because it's interesting to me that people, you know, sometimes think they're not superstitious, but yet they do all these little rituals. So, you know, it's, we're in Bronco country. And so we understand football season. There's all kinds of quote rituals and things that people do so that obviously, you know, their favorite team will win. Our Broncos are not doing them this year. Our Broncos are not doing very good this year.
All you fans better step up with your rituals.
The Broncos are bad this year.
They need to. So we're going to talk about how to reverse some things. So, but what I want to look at is like, okay, so first we have these beliefs. Okay. So part of me, you know, when we started this conversation, I'm like, okay, I want to know about superstitions. I want to talk about superstitions because I grew up in a very superstitious, household, super, more so my grandma, my mom's mom, my grandma Noga was superstitious, my mom a little bit, but, our grandparents, they have a older generation of superstitions. Like my great grandma would say, you have to make your bed before noon or the devil crawls in it, right? So whether this was a scare tactic or something else,
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask. Do you think some of them came out of like, to get you to do things, one, and then two, like, you know, it's bad luck to walk under a ladder, but was real that really more so to keep people from walking under ladders just for safety reasons?
Yeah, because when I look at the superstition of, you know, don't walk under a ladder, I always, even as a kid, I thought it made sense. I thought it was dangerous.
Yeah.
It can topple over. Somebody can drop the paint bucket on you or a hammer on you. Like, it just made sense. But the original belief around don't walk under a ladder is that a ladder makes a sacred triangle. And Catholics believed that you don't break the sacred Trinity. And so by walking under a ladder, you're breaking the sacred Trinity. So what's always fascinating to me in my growing up, and especially now doing what I do, when I look at my Catholic upbringing, that was, you know, so, you know, Roman Catholic Church beliefs, and that what I do technically is this more pagan, you know, world. It's funny because my Catholic family had more of the superstitions and did more of the pagan rituals. Mm-hmm. It felt like that would override them. You know what I mean? So maybe they did them in a Catholic than in the name of, right? So like my upbringing was, a baby can get mal ojo, right? We've talked about this before. The evil eye. A baby can get sick by being admired too much. And so in many cultures, they believe that. Like, you don't over admire a baby because the baby can get sick. You have to break the energy. So you either touch the baby. So if I'm the person admiring this little baby, I'm like, oh my God, a baby's so cute. Can I touch it? Because I want to touch it. So I break the energy so the baby doesn't get sick. But also from the parents, the babies always would have some sort of amulet or something, right? A pin or a bracelet or something that would protect them from the evil eye. So we have these beliefs to protect the baby from the evil eye, even though we know like this baby is like, you know, this just came from God kind of thing, right? But the energy's so pure that the baby can actually get sick from it. So What was my point of this? My point is that we from my Catholic family, so in all of many cultures, I know that they believe this. And so there's different ways that you'd put something on the baby. In my Catholic family, you'd put like a medal, like like a santo, right? So like Archangel Michael or like, Saint Christopher. Those are usually maybe Mother Mary, yeah. Right? Any of the archangels to protect the baby. So I feel like, when I look at superstitions, they're mostly fear-based. And that's kind of one thing I want to change a little bit is like okay, so we kind of talked about this a little bit before we started the conversation, you know, now as we're recording, because I was like, I feel like by talking about them, I don't want to spread fear and be like, oh, you don't want to do these things because, you know, right? Everything we're taught is to be afraid of. But as Mariah started to talk about her rituals, she's like, wait a minute, though, I won't stop doing them, right? Even if you're like, well, I have nothing to fear. I walk with the hand of God in everything I do, but I'm still going to put the eye of God on my door, and I'm still going to put sage there, and I'm still going to put salt in front of the door or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Because you want to keep the evil spirits out. So sometimes I go, okay, so these are all just beliefs, right? But then I go, when I really look at, especially because, you know, I love the old, old, like, gypsy beliefs, like Peaky Blinders, that show I just love so much because of they come from these Romani gypsies and they have these superstitions. And I feel that in my being, some of my family's superstitions come from those places, right? I do know because my family comes from the areas of, you know, some of those areas like, you know, Eastern European areas and things like that, that I'm like, they have this, there's a very ancient, like, superstitions, right? And so where do these things come from? They had to start from somewhere. And I believe that, like, when we really dig deep, they have, like, a real something around them. And I do believe in them in the sense, like, I don't want to spread fear, but I also go, like, we have these superstitions and we have remedies to ward off evil and we have rituals for these reasons so that we can avoid certain misfortunes, right? And so, and when I look back into those old, really old ways, they're not just superstitions because people were really doing magic against each other.
Yeah.
Right? So then I go,
they still are.
Yeah, they still are. So then when I look at this from that perception of like, that perspective of like, okay, today we're talking about like, what are some common superstitions? Okay, don't break a mirror. Don't step on a crack because you'll break your mama's back. Don't spill salt. Don't, you know, do these things because misfortune can happen. But when I go really deep, I go, oh no, people made each other sick. Like an evil eye, jealousy can make somebody sick, right? And we know this till today, still. People can gossip about you and cause harm to you, whether because they're, you know, hurting your good name or they actually energetically are sending negative energy your way. So then we do these rituals to protect ourselves from these things. And so, like, I like to, I mean, I know I'm kind of all over the place here, but I'm struggling a little bit. Not struggling. I want to say, like, I don't even like to call them superstitions. They're belief systems, right? And so if we go, okay, so don't walk under a ladder because you break the sacred trinity. So whether or not you're Catholic, the sacred trinity is older than Catholicism. So it's like, do I want to be responsible for that? No, not really. But also from like a safety point of view, makes sense. Mm-hmm. Don't walk under a ladder. That just seemed dumb to me, even as a kid. A mirror, they say, you know, brings 7 years bad luck, but a mirror itself is a reflection of yourself. Nobody really likes the reflection of themselves. And so then to see a broken reflection is very detrimental to your psyche. So that's part of where that belief comes from. Okay. And so then if you, 'cause it's distorted, right? Mm-hmm. And think about that. Think about this now that I'm saying that. When somebody's really upset and they're in the mirror and they're like having a nervous breakdown and then they break the mirror. And think about yourself being like this piece of glass and then you're fragmented, right? Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So we look at that. They say, you know, don't step on a crack. It's not because it'll break your mama's back. It's because it's considered a portal, that cracks are portals into another world. And if you think about portals, if you think about, you know, at time travel and that, it's always a sliver or a fragment of reality. There's a tear in the veil. There's a tear in the reality. And so a crack, stepping on it can disturb the energies from the other reality.
Okay. But also it's an indication of a hole in the ground. You step on it and you can fall.
Yeah, you can fall in it. Yeah. So we could look at that from there as well. But then if we go like, okay, like, you know, I was raised, don't put your purse on the floor.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. And so why don't you?
Because it's bad luck.
So bad luck. Some say it's because you get germs.
Well, that too.
But right? Yeah. And they say that a lot. So in some traditions, you don't put your purse on the floor because it gets germs and because women have a habit of like putting their purse on the bed and putting the purse on the sofa, places where you sit, where you put your face. And so like it's bad hygiene. However, like I was raised, you don't put your purse on the floor because the devil takes your money.
Yeah.
There's a lot of devil in my childhood. Like the devil crawls in your bed.
Is anyone surprised?
The devil crawls in your bed. The devil takes your money. If you spill salt, you throw it over your left shoulder because the devil's behind you. No wonder you don't like horror movies.
I don't like horror movies.
I was raised very much in all of the horrors of the world were spiritual battles. It was between devil and the angels. And so the salt goes into the devil's eyes. That's why they say. So technically they say, okay, you don't spill salt because salt was such a rich commodity and it was so hard to come by that you didn't want to waste it. So then throw it at the devil, right? So, but throwing it over your shoulder throws it in his eyes because he's right behind you, right? He's on your ankles. So think about what that does to the psyche of a child. I mean, I literally, there are very few days that I go that my bed does not get made. I mean, I have to be pretty, I'm either like, it's a lazy day and I'm just not really getting out of it, or I'm really just started off the day wrong and never made it to make my bed, because that's pretty rare. Because the devil's going to be there when I get home. Like,
that's kind of funny, because when I get up in the morning, I go shower and my bed's not made yet. And I come in and my dog is on my pillows and where I lay down. And when you first look at her, because she's mostly black and then she's got these white around her eyes, she looks like a little demon.
So the devil's in Tio's bed.
So why then? Okay, so like, okay, when I think of, like, I love the story of, like, you know, people use essential oils and you know the blend thieves oil. Mm-hmm. Do you know why they call it thieves oil?
You've told me before.
So they during the plague,
yes,
people were dying. And so the thieves were like, we'll just go rip them off, right? Because they're all dying. They're not going to miss their stuff. But they didn't want to get the plague. So they would cover themselves in oils because it, you know, we understand essential oils to be true medicine. Whether they understood it was true medicine or they just thought, you know, superstitious wise, we'll just cover ourselves in oils and that will prevent us from getting sick. And that's how thieves oil, the blend, became a thing, because you could literally kill anything. You know, you could keep the plague away while you stole from all your sick neighbors. So that's kind of what I want to look at here is like, so like when I think about like what rituals do? I do the same as Mariah. Like I have something by my door protected. protecting my household. It's kind of the first, like the first things I do if I move into a house is set up my altar and put something at my door. I'm a believer in like, I don't sweep out the door. You never, like where I come from, you never swept your dirt out the door. You have to gather it up and put it in the trash and take it out the back door or Why? Take it out a different way, because they say you sweep all the good luck out.
Oh.
Yeah, by sweeping it out, you're just like sweeping all the good fortune and stuff out. I also was raised that you were never to sweep somebody's feet. Did you ever, do you remember, at my grandma's house, you know, there was a whole, my grandma had 12 kids, and so there was a ton of cousins, there was a ton of us, and so there was somebody always sweeping, because there was a house full of kids, and she had hardwood floors, and it was always like, if somebody started sweeping, all us girls would jump up on the counter, because they said if somebody swept your feet, you'd get pregnant.
And so dang, my feet must have got swept a bunch.
So we were like, I'm out, don't sweep my feet. There is another, I can't
There's
remember.
There's something to be said for dirty feet.
There is another something about sweeping the feet. They won't get married, or it puts some kind of ill fortune. But there's a lot of superstitions around getting your feet swept. Which is funny, because then we say we'll sweep you off your feet.
Yeah.
I don't know where that one comes from. I'll have to look into that. So what else do I always grew up with some sort of amulet or pendulum, not pendulum. What do you call them? Those little medals? We have a name.
Yeah. What were they?
I just knew them as our medals. To your bra? Yeah. I had a medal pinned to my bra till I was probably way too old. I think I was almost headed to college because that's what we did. We got medals of like Archangel Michael or Mother Mary or one of the saints, and you got it pinned to you and you wore that all the time. Your confirmation little, I forget what they're called. It's been a while. So I think that like, okay, so when I look at this, I go, do we do these rituals out of fear? Like, because myrrh even saying like, but I don't want to stop doing them.
Yeah.
Even if you're like, I know I'm protected, but I'm going to still do it.
Yeah, I'm not taking my stuff down from my door.
Yeah, and so is it because you fully believe it protects you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Because like when I, you know, I always say I got to go home and do house magic. Like when to me, house magic is I just did a really deep clean in my house, and I like to clean it really, really good, organize, purge, declutter. And then house magic, meaning like smudge it, balance the energy with the smoke, incenses, candles, all the little things like salt at the door, fresh flowers, maybe some, oils or something that, you know, bring in good energy, because it's a vibe, right? It's a energetic vibe. And I think you can kind of feel that in some households. You walk in and the house feels clammy and old or cold or
stuffy,
yeah. Or there's no life to it. So we do these rituals and this quote magic to I feel like, you know, as we're talking, it's like tapping in, because, you know, I keep thinking when you say I'm not taking it down, I'm not going to stop doing it. When I think like, I believe full-heartedly I'm protected. I walk with the hand of God in everything I do. So then why do I need to do house magic? Why do I need to put that little santo on my door? Well, because in my ancestor DNA, that's like in me. It's ingrained in me.
Yeah, you connect to it.
Yeah, I connect to it. Because then, you know, it's funny because my relatives also were like, you didn't. So I have, you know, Mariah and I share one set of grandparents and one side, and they were Catholic but indigenous, you know. My other side's Italian, Polish Catholic, and they both sides believed like you weren't allowed to have owls in the house. Owls and peacocks were bad luck. And I remember, you know, I'm Carrie Owl Medicine. Like that's my name is Great Horned Owl Woman. And like as a kid, all I wanted was owl stuff, and I wasn't allowed to have it because it was bad luck. Bad luck meaning that owls were witches.
And owls bring death.
And so nobody, and there are still circles that I walk in now that I have to remind myself that my owl medicine isn't so they're not so happy about it when I show up because their belief is that owls only bring death, where I say owls bring death and transformation, brings wisdom, brings so many other things. But you weren't even allowed to have, like, I remember my aunt had peacock feathers and my grandma made her take them down. Like, you can't have, they were bad luck. And I think it has something to do with like the eye that it's on it, or something like that. But to me, I'm like, they felt more protective.
Yeah.
But again, it's like the belief, right? And so I feel like what I want to sort of bring attention to here is, one, why do we believe what we believe? Okay, we have these, most people will spill salt and throw it over their shoulder, just instinctively, just out of, because it's so ingrained in our collective. But also because, you know, I feel like, so I go, okay, we have these beliefs and I want people to fully understand, why do you believe what you believe? But then at the same time, if you're going to believe it, then believe it all the way. So I would rather see people be like, I'm going to do all the rituals so that I walk in good fortune. And but what I see over and over is that they walk in fear. I have to be protected. And I hear this a lot in the circles that we run in. People are always protecting themselves from that person and that person, and they're doing magic on me, or they're doing sorcery on me, or they're doing, you know, or I'm having to run a bad luck. And I'm like, let's not do them to focus on, because I always say my light is greater than their dark. So you can't touch me because I walk with the hand of God on everything. So it doesn't matter if I have an amulet on or not. However, if I feel like that amulet does something, I'm definitely going to wear it. Right. And that's what I want. I want people to wear it knowing like I'm protected, but don't wear it and still be in the fear.
Yeah.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And so there's so many things that we can do. Like I could, you know, there's a belief that like if you tie a red string on your hand, you'll be protected and you'll have good fortune. Well, I could tie a red. Oh, you have one on.
We all my whole family wears them.
Yeah. See?
Till they fall off.
Till they fall off. Mm-hmm. And did you know once they fall off, you're not supposed to put them, that you yourself should never put them back on.
Yeah.
That somebody else should tie it on for you.
Okay. We usually get rid of them once they fall off.
And why is that?
Because they say that, like, they say that, like, your energy, like, it's better luck that somebody else, like, blesses you in that way. You know what I mean? It's like they're tying it on to you. But we could also look at that, like, careful who you let tie that red string on, right? That's so funny that I never knew you wore a red, that you guys all do that. Mm-hmm. And where'd you get that from?
I think my mom, maybe, because she always would give them to the babies. And then, I don't know, Henry wears one. I do. Henry's really good friend was going through some stuff, and I gave him one, and he wore it for like 5-6 years and had to take it off recently, and it fell apart because it was so old, but he had to take it off for like an MRI or something. And he was so upset, like called and was like, do you think Mariah could give me another one? Because he had full faith it was protecting him. So.
Yeah, see, and that's where, you know, think of Richie Valens. Remember the...
Yeah, his necklace.
La Bamba guy. And he had this necklace because he was so afraid he was going to die in a plane crash. And when it broke, when him and his brother got in that fight, they broke it. And then he died not long after that in a plane crash. I feel like... So this is where I'm like, again, I go back to that. Okay, belief has a lot to do with it. And this is where I kind of was teetering and feeling a little bit kind of weird, because I started this idea of like, oh, let's talk about superstitions and rituals. And we have hundreds of rituals that we can teach the podcast listeners about. So how to draw in good fortune and how to this and that. And then I started to go like, well, first of all, there's so many. Where do I go? But then I thought, well, this is all about belief. And I'm always telling them to check in on their beliefs. Why do you believe what you believe? And so then is it good to then get people more brainwashed into believing something? But then at the same time, I go, my ancestors, I start hearing them way down deep in my being going, you think those came just like, we're talking about these sort of ones that are here in our forefront, like, you know, don't step on a crack. But our ancestors had ones that were much older, much more mystical, much more ancient. So think of like, okay, if we have a bunch of women at Strawberry Moon and we're doing some kind of herbal plant medicine class or something, let's say we're making a despacho or something, I would say to the girls, if they had skirts on, they'd have to pull their skirts, tie them behind them. They have to pull them in and careful how they move along the floor, because their energy, their skirt can swoop up all of the medicine from those plants and flowers and keep it for themselves. And so then all that medicine that's on the floor is now no good, because a woman is that powerful that she can draw that in. These are the kinds of things when I look at superstitions in that way, and I go, there's older ones that make more sense this way because they understood energy. They understood the power that we hold. They understood it wasn't just the devil might crawl in your bed kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And isn't there lots of like traditions that people do that came from rituals, like Christmas trees, correct?
Yeah, Christmas tree. I mean,
and people don't, like most people nowadays put it up because it's the thing to do, but yeah, that's not where it came from. Wasn't it a ritual for pagan?
So remember I had that one, I don't know if you were here, I had a tea time on the moon like 100 years mm-mm. ago, and I had a Christmas tree and everybody was like all surprised. And I was like, who else puts up a Christmas tree? And half the room was like, yeah. And I was like, tell me why. And they're like, well, because it's Christmas. And I'm like, but tell me why. And no one could really tell me why. And I said, you know, it's a pagan tradition that you bring in the tree to save the tree through the winter. You're saying, I'm going to protect this tree. I'm going to bring it inside in the hopes that as long as we save one tree, that no matter how harsh the winter is, come spring, we will be able to have trees again, right? We'll be able, the nature will regenerate and resprout. And so they brought it in to honor nature and to protect it through the winter and say, we will, and, you know, we will feed this, we will decorate it, give it offerings and feed it so that it will, sustain through the winter. And so, you know, it became part of this other tradition, and now it was something else. So we have all these traditions and rituals and superstitions that come from somewhere else.
Yeah.
So in my dilemma here, and I say dilemma because I was like kind of all over, like I was all gung-ho to do this episode, and then I was like, wait a minute, am I just perpetuating a bunch of belief? Because then I'm like, well, what if I just said everything's belief and this is all for nothing because it only works if you believe it, right? Because it's these rituals only work if you believe them. Because if somebody goes, well, I'm going to wear this, but it's not going to protect me, there are they going to be protected?
No.
No, not the way the person that's like, oh, I'm full on protected. So then I'm like, then is it a false sense of security? But then I also go like, but again, the beginning of time when I roll back past the several generations that we've had, I go, I know deep in my being that my ancestors did these things for a reason and they weren't just for nothing. Because they lived in a world that actually had people doing magic against each other they understood. But then again, how did they start? Did it start because somebody's like, oh, that didn't work, so we're going to do it this way now all the time. Or we had one good season, so we're going to, you know, we're going to tie a red string around the corn 3 times every year because the year we did that, everything was good.
Yeah. You know, that's how a lot of personal, I think, superstitions start. Like people like, I'm wearing my jersey every Sunday and I don't wash it the whole season because that's the only way we win or whatever.
Yeah. Because, you know, when we look at football, that's always we have, you know, people that don't shave for the whole season.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they won't change something because, you know, my brother, literally huge Bronco fan, he won't watch the game at all. He'll like ask every now and then, what's the score? He goes, he thinks that if he watches, he makes them lose.
So he's been watching all season.
Has he been watching the games this year? Because the Broncos, they're not good this year.
I know. I'm going to tell him, you could start watching.
Yeah.
And so, okay, with that, we say to the Broncos, maybe there's some Broncos out there listening. What I would say is like, there's things that you can do to reverse. So they say like, if you're having a run of bad luck, you can like turn your shirt inside out and sit in your chair backwards. And
well, where does that come from?
No. And miss it, what it does is it causes fortune to get confused and it will turn the other direction.
Yeah, so I was never, I don't recall being taught any of these superstitions, rituals, but I do remember being around my grandma Sanchez and my aunties and seeing stuff like this. I just didn't know what it was. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I have belief. Like, I remember our first healing event over at La Raza Park for Servicios. And, I didn't bring my Mayan medicine bag because it literally screamed at me, don't take it because you'll forget it. Right. And you asked me, well, how are you protected? And I showed you my tattoos. I was like, these protect me.
Yeah.
So I do have those beliefs. I have no recollection of where they came from.
Right. Right. Yeah. And like I said, I don't, like, when I think about, you know, I have rituals in the sense of, like, I'm kind of an OCD kind of person. So I do things a certain way so that I feel okay. And so, because then what we want to be careful of is like people who, I had somebody here just now that before we started this, and she said something about having a friend that is very, that whole don't step on a crack thing is debilitating for her.
Yeah, because when I think of that, the one reason that one sticks in my mind is because as a little girl, I remember how hard it was to walk down the sidewalk because I would try to avoid. But there's cracks everywhere.
There's
like
cracks everywhere. And if you're paying attention, yeah. And then if you're short, like us, like yeah. Sometimes it's hard to stride because you can't, like, you're like having to take a half a step to not step on that crack. But think about that. The psyche of a child, you break your mom's back. What if you stepped on a crack and then she broke her back? Like, so this is where I kind of go, like, I know we have these deep, and again, I feel like I wish I could trace. I mean, I could probably try, but I don't think it would be possible to truly trace. Because if you look at like Romani gypsy beliefs, they're really intense.
Mm-hmm.
They have some really, like, you know, women should never stand over, like, you shouldn't get an apartment on the bottom floor because a woman could live above you. And there's a whole thing about like a woman's energy from her, you know, sacred area and like what, and I've seen this in many traditions that a woman's energy, like when she's on her moon, right? We know that you aren't supposed to touch certain things, sacred things. My aunts were very, I had an aunt who was taught me very young age when you're on your moon cycle that you weren't to touch your plants.
Yeah, I know that only because you told me that.
Because you suck you can literally like suck the energy from the plant and make them sick. So like I do feel like, again, that's where I'm like, I feel like some of these that we've been talking about, these sort of, I want to say stale, these like regular run-of-the-mill, like kind of comical ones that we, you know, don't step on a crack or like don't spill the salt, like come from something that's so Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th is not a bad luck day. Friday the 13th stems, if you do your research, it stems from the Knights Templar. And they had a bad day. The Knights Templar had a bad day. And I can't remember the exact story. I should probably do my homework. It's been a long time. But they like had the king like killed half of them. There was some raid and had something to do with the bank or something. Banking system. So that's also where there's a banking systems issue. But it's not, but now we have a whole genre of movies and stuff related to Friday the 13th that doesn't even have anything to do with the Knights Templar. And so people stay home from work and stuff.
Yeah. I had an attorney that would, and we would mess with him too. If he did come to work one time, I put like pictures of black cats and ladders, and then we left an umbrella open inside of his office just to mess with him because we thought it was so funny that he was so scared of Friday the 13th.
I totally forgot about it. I totally forgot. Did he think that was funny?
So probably not. I don't think he ever reacted because he didn't want us to know that it bothered him.
I totally forgot about the umbrella, opening an umbrella.
Yeah, what's that one about?
I understood it to just be like you could poke an eye out. But I do know it's considered bad
luck. Yeah.
yeah, because you're like opening. I don't know. I never
understood. Knew why either. I just know you're not supposed to do
it. Yeah, we'll have to find that one out. I know you're supposed to. Yeah, always, because this is why people only open them when they step out, or like only close them as they're coming in.
Yeah.
Can someone send us email as to why that is?
Yeah. Yeah, if you know, let us know.
The Sacred Donut Podcast, gmail.com.
Yeah. But even black cats, again, you know, bad luck if a black cat, because it's a witch.
I had one though when I was little.
Think about that. All of the witchy poo animals are the ones that are bad luck.
Yeah, but where did that start? Like back in the
when people are
Salem witch trials,
yeah, like, no, probably before then. Because if we look at the very pagan, and I'm talking, I think our history always kind of stops in a certain place. But when I really look, this is what I'm saying. I feel like anytime I see like a carnival type of thing, or like those people, you know, the gypsy people, I always get this feeling of like they have a really deep ancient. These are the people that were connected to, you know, the fairy, the Devic world. And like, they just have a different understanding. Cause even when you watch like Peaky Blinders, they barely touch on it, but it's enough to where it's like, you know, they know like they can use their magic in a certain way. And I feel like this comes from those old, and this is what I feel in my being. Why, when I wanted to say like, oh, superstitions, these are just beliefs. Don't give them too much. What do you call it? On the flip side, I go, oh, wait. Don't get too lax.
Yeah, because there's a lot of, I mean, there's even, there's a lot of them associated with like the other side and like spirits and stuff. Like, have you heard don't whistle in the forest?
Don't whistle inside your house.
Yeah, don't answer if you hear your name called in the forest.
Is that why Sheldon does that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if that's what he does, but they say don't whistle in the house because you can call in. Wait, what was it? I can't remember. Don't whistle inside because you can tempt spirits to enter your house. You can whistle all day outside.
Oh, but Grandpa whistles all the time.
I know a lot of people, and I'm like, I thought it would be. But see, there again.
But like, I know in the Appalachians, that's one of their big beliefs, is not, because I watch them on TikTok all the time, the ghost stories, they don't whistle in the forest.
Because then you call them.
Yep.
Yeah, see, and so it's like, if you're whistling, you're calling them.
Yeah, but wouldn't that also call like the predators to you? So they could not only smell you, but then they could hear you?
Maybe, so then it goes like back to like, do these all like come a from a GPS? Safety?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about, I'm having a flash of like the shamans I worked with in Peru. They whistle as part of their shamanic journey. We're inside a building and they're whistling, calling in these energies.
Oh.
Hmm. Yeah. And you know, a lot of these superstitions come from the quote-unquote powers that be to demonize, vilify those who are gaining power without them, like witches,
yeah.
Right? They, you know, the witches brewing stuff. Well, they were brewing beer and making money on the women on their own.
Yeah.
So they put a stop to it, and that's when a lot of the witch trials happened and the burnings.
Right. But even before that, but see, so this is the thing. You could say they're superstitions because they want to vilify the medicine, magical people. But then there's superstitions from the magical medicine people, right, to protect themselves
right
from those vilifiers.
Yeah.
It's a vicious cycle.
It's a vicious cycle. So it then, again, it comes down to this sort of like fear.
Everything, though, seems to be fear-based in life.
And that's what I don't want. What I would rather see people do is, like, you're going to lather yourself up with oils, be like, I'm in the money, I'm got good fortune. You know, fortune is my favorite Santana song is Winning, because he literally talks about, like, one day I was on the ground and needed a hand and no one was around, and then now I'm, now I'm winning, you know, because I feel like we're so conditioned to be in the woe is me and the my bad luck. I mean, people, I say this all the time. I'd have a line out the door if I just told people they were cursed
yep.
and that they have bad luck and they need to come and see me. People tell me, do you think I have bad luck? I'm like, it's all perception. What's bad luck to you might be good luck to somebody else. Like sometimes people will say it's bad luck. I lost my job. And I'm like, did you like your job? No, I hated it. Well, then I would call that good luck. I would call that you got exactly what you wanted. So I think here this is where I kind of want to, I think part of me is feeling a little like I want to clean up all of that lame superstitions, the caca superstitions. Like, you're not going to break your mom's back if you step on a crack. But I am also like careful of the portals that you walk in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Why do I feel like I'm having a dilemma?
Because you are.
Like, because I want people, this is what I want. I want people to not be trapped in beliefs. I want them to be like, I'm going to do it because I like to do it. I'm going to do it because I feel good doing ritual. I'm going to do it because I like to put the herbs in jars and I like to put the pennies in the places and I like to put cinnamon in my wallet because my wallet smells good and because I'm going to draw on good fortune. But I also want them to be like, I don't have any pennies in my wallet, but I still got good fortune, you know? I want them to be like, I walk with the hand of God on everything I do and I don't need anything. I don't need to wear an oil or a perfume or an amulet or a flower. I don't need anything, but I'm going to walk in the knowing that I am blessed. Because remember I told you that one thing I really loved, like when we were in Egypt and when I watched that Dubai bling, I really loved how there are certain cultures that are constantly blessing each other. And I think I struggle with in the U.S. and in some of our own cultures, they're so negative. Mm-hmm. And we're so like, who do you think you are with all your good fortune? I'm like,
I get that a lot.
Yeah. And I feel like that's what I'm feeling. I feel like, why can't we just be blessing each other all the time?
Yeah, and not putting your fears onto other people.
Don't put your fears on. That is not my reality. I have to say that all the time. People are always telling me things, and I'm like, right. That's not, I don't know, not my reality. I don't know what to tell you. I don't live there. And so I want us to be like, if we're going to be doing all the superstitions and rituals, let's start doing it in a way to bless people. Let's do that. Let's be like, I love to see when people are like, so much good fortune to you, blessings your way. I loved in that show when they would just mention their mothers and they'd be like, oh, your mother, how is your mother? Blessings to her. God bless her. Because like, we don't really hear that. If people say like, how is your mom? They might ask, how is your mom? Oh, she's good. Oh, good. Tell her I said hi. Nobody says God bless her with good fortune. That, and I'm not saying because I can't talk for everybody. There are probably people out there. I know my mom blesses everybody. My mom blesses everybody she comes in contact with. But that's what I want. And I want us to, if we're going to do superstitions and rituals and like, let's do it in the way like the highest magic. Like, let's push ourselves to thrive. Let's push ourselves to like, if we're going to do good medicine, I'm going to do good medicine to draw in good fortune and wealth and happiness and health, not to protect myself from that little girl over there who has a crooked eye at me. You know, because my light is greater than her dark. Her jealousy and stuff can't touch me because I'm thriving and I'm living in my fullest potential. And if you're jealous of that, well, I'm so sorry for you. God bless you. I really hope you find your way because your potential hasn't even been touched yet. And it doesn't look anything like mine. So why would you be jealous of mine? Because you have energy and of your own. Right?
Yeah.
And so like, let's not fear, because I hear this all the time. Like, I think they're doing something. I know someone who's a little bit trying to make a change in their life and they're afraid to because they're afraid of the ramifications that might come when they make this change because the other party's not going to be too happy about it. And they're like worried. And I'm like, that wouldn't even be my thought. I'd be like, that'd be my last thought, right? But because we run in these sort of spiritual circles, people are like, oh, but if they don't like it, they might do something to harm me because they do sorcery or because they don't always play nice. Well, God bless them.
Right. And if you are in your light and you know you walk with the hand of God, they can't touch you.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying, like, then we shouldn't, instead of us being, like, worried about the evil spirits. And I get it, because then I go, okay, like, let's, the bigger your light.
Yep, you draw the dark.
You draw the dark. So we go, well, there it is.
Bring it.
Bring it, because I'm not going to dim my light to make you feel better or make myself feel safer. Because with the light comes the dark, it's all one anyway, right? And so, okay, you know, like you say, you know you've made it when the haters come out.
Yep.
So, like, what are you going to do? Pat yourself on the back, throw on some thieves oil and
say, good job.
Good job. Don't steal from your neighbor, though, okay? Like, what is that? How does that feel to you?
Yeah, I think it's better to focus on making positive rituals.
Because even like with the Broncos, people will do their rituals so they don't lose, or, you know, they don't focus on like it's always looking at like the worst. Like, we want to look at it at the best point. Like, what's the best possible outcome? Does that make sense? I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Like, stop basing everything around fear.
Around fear.
Yeah. Like, if you're going to say, if I'm going to teach my kids to do certain things, I want it to be because, oh, doing this is going to bring you abundance and love and happiness and all the positives. Not do this because otherwise the devil's going to be at your back.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, can we just take the devil out of the devil's like, I'm just over here trying to enjoy myself. And
he's like, yeah, but remember, the devil's an angel.
Yeah. He went home a long time ago.
Yeah, and he's here to show us our, you know, not to show us our darkness, but to not be afraid of it.
Right, and that, again, that's a whole other conversation.
Right.
Because we could look at that, like when we talk about the Egypt, the netters, we're talking about the manifestation of, and what is the devil is a manifestation of our darkness, right? So yeah. Again, then who are you really protecting yourself from? If you're not afraid of the devil, then...
I mean, if you want to be honest, you should be more afraid of yourself than anything. Because right. You can be your biggest harm.
Yes. And that's what I kind of want to get here, is that the beliefs that you carry sometimes are the worst, the things that harm you the most.
Right, and some of those negative beliefs, is like the devil and... making you fear going to hell. Those things were put in place to control you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's kind of why I feel like I think I was struggling in this conversation, is because one, I don't want to, you know, I keep feeling this like deep ancestral, like we did these things, we had meaning and purpose and reasons for these things, but I felt like it was more from a mystical, like you know, working with energy, understanding like the devic realm and understanding the plant energies, and that they have a deeper understanding in a way that where we are today, always feels so superficial to me. I feel like it's like, and I think this is what's bothering me also, is that there's a whole bunch of money to be made on that kind of like, we're going to do the spells and the things so that you're protected. And it's like, you don't need to pay someone a ton of money to do that for you.
Yep.
And that I think bothers me, instead of empowering people to be able to be in their own personal connections, right? To be in their own. I mean, that's really something I try to do, is get people to be in their, like, you tell me what it means. Like, people will say, oh, this happened to me. What does it mean? You tell me what it means. They're like, I can just pay you to tell me. And I'm like, no, because that's an easy, quick, rich, get rich quick thing that I could do to you, but that doesn't empower you.
Mm-mm.
That makes you dependent on me.
Yeah.
I want to empower you to be like, I will, I will protect myself. I will connect with my God. I will make my remedies, my brew, my whatever that makes me feel good. I like when a young person, like a little kid's like, I decided to put 4 rose petals in the east because it felt that's the where it should go. Instead of calling me like a grown up would call me and be like, how do I, you know, tell me a spell or a ritual or whatever to, I like when people figure it out because it's their own cosmic movement, their own interaction and relationship with nature, with God. And so I think that is what bothers me in this conversation is that there's people out there profiting from superstitions.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, you're cursed. So pay me money.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Pay me money and I'll clear the curse. Now, mind you, I'm not being a hypocrite here. I'm fully aware of what I do. I literally do that. But I do it in a way where I still am getting the person to find as much of their own healing. They have to participate in this healing. I'm not just saying, oh, you need to come. I could so be like, you need to see me 3 times, 3 weeks in a row and pay me this much money before it's cleared. I don't do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's done. Let's do this. And we do it together and it's done and that's it. And I don't milk you until I feel like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does this feel?
It feels good.
Good?
Good.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add?
No.
So carry on with your bad selves and all your rituals. Do all your rituals, but do them from a place of blessing yourself.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever really done anything out of fear in the sense of, because I don't do the salt thing and I don't make my bed. Sorry, Mom. To keep the devil out. Like, I make it if I feel like it, but otherwise, yeah. So I think most, like, when I feel like when I hang the stuff over my door and stuff, it's more of a blessing to the house, not like, oh my God, there's all those demons on the other side.
And that's what I want you to think about is, like, when I say house magic, I do my house in a way so that it brings up the energy.
Yeah.
So it feels enchanting. It feels sacred. People will say, they'll come in and they'll say, your house smells good, or your house smells interesting, you know, whatever. You know, especially if I'm making like magic tea, right? It smells like medicine. It smells like healing. That's what we want. We want people to feel like, do the things, hang the things up. Even when you, what do you call it? Accessorize or ordain? What do you call it when you decorate yourself? There's a word. I can't think of it. Adorn.
Okay.
Not ordain. When you adorn yourself, if you're going to adorn yourself with the amulets and the jewels or the crystals, like, do it in the, yeah, this is amplifying my energy. All we know, stones all have vibrations and meanings and medicine. They do things, like, but do it because you know, like, this is my medicine. Not like I need to put 3 layers of stuff
because so, everybody's out to get me and I'm going to get cursed. And
yes, because you already lost the battle. You already lost the battle because you're already feeling like you're disempowered. That's it. That's my feeling. That's my feeling is that if you're putting your power into the hands of someone else, you're giving them, if you think they're more powerful than you, you're handing over your power.
Yeah.
You've already lost.
Yeah,
so it doesn't matter how many. And then if you're depending on someone else
to reclaim it.
Now, I understand if you got to see someone like the work I do, you want to see someone to help you boost that. But then we're going to get you to a point where like, okay, now it's up to you to continue. But this, like, they're coming to get me. Are you going to give them that much power? I tell people all the time, you're going to give them that much power?
Nope.
That little person over there, that's who you're worried about.
No. I like this message. This is a good message.
Yeah, I feel like that's where I feel like we needed to, because this was something was bothering me. That's what I don't want. Like, come on, people need to step it up. They need to reclaim their power. They need to handle their business. This is your power, your movement, your reality. Claim it, reclaim it, take charge of it, and stop putting your wellness into the hands of someone else. It's your responsibility.
Yep.
So I always say that about your health. Well, now I'm saying about your power. It's mm-hmm. your responsibility. And how much power you have. And this is what we talk about. Being a person of power is knowing exactly who you are. I know who I am. I know my time, space, and dimension. I know how I react to situations. Oh, this is bothering me. That thing triggered me. I know what this is. I know how to deal with it. And maybe, yeah, I need a little bit of extra oil, you know, behind my ears. Maybe I need to wear my grandma's amulet or carry her little santo or put a piece of Osha in my medicine bag. You know, we have things that we put in our bags to protect our bags, our medicine bags and things like that, that they're helpers. But that doesn't mean I get lazy and just let them do all the work. I still have to be the one that's like, I'm awake. I'm aware. I fully, there's nothing coming at me that I need to be worried about because I walk with the hand of God on everything I do. And the rest is...
People would be shocked if they really knew how powerful they were.
Oh, that's exactly what I want them to know, is that they're so powerful.
Everyone needs to find their inner Shira and stand on top of your pink castle. That's dating me, but I still have my Shira castle, FYI.
You do?
Yeah.
And it's pink?
It's pink. I had to have one. The boys had He-Man's castle, so I had to have Shira's.
Castle Grayskull. Oh my God, that's funny. Okay, sound good?
Yep.
All right, then we'll close it up. We'll take a nice deep breath. And we will begin to find our inner Shira or He-Ra or He-Man or whatever you feel, whatever power animal. God, Goddess, all that is. Pachamama, antepasado, winged beings. All of our soul's counsel, our teachers, our guides, our angels. We call upon you today and ask that you create sacred space. I ask that you create a sacred space, a vortex of energy around and through each person listening. I ask today to reach deep down into their being, into their source of power, to the depths of their innermost places of power in the sacrum, in the solar plexus. I ask that this place of power be cleansed and cleared of any energy or beliefs of disempowerment or helplessness. I ask today for the deep power, the power that drives them, the power of creation, of all that is. I ask that this power begin to expand from the inside out. I ask that if you are listening here today, that you reclaim your power. That if at any point you have given someone else any of your power, that this power be returned to you. That you reclaim it and draw it back to you. I ask and remind you that you are a powerful being. You are God having a human experience. And that all you need come from within you. I ask today to surround you with the energy of protection, the energy of all that is, of the highest magic, the highest of the high vibrations, and that you walk knowing that you walk in the most sacred, elevated, powerful way, and that you are reminded each and every day that you are a powerful being, and that no one can harm you without your agreement. So today I say, stand strong. Stand solid in the knowing that you are all the protection, that you are all the power you will ever need. Banti Oshahau, Banti Oshakwa, Banti Oshana, Ometeo, so it is. Amen.
Banti Oshahau, Banti Oshakwa, Ometeo, amen, so it is. I will leave you in this quiet state. May you have a blessed day, week, month, until we meet again.